Merkle Media.
Driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host, Tony Merkle.
And I am Guy Buttersnap.
And we're really glad you're here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with us from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com, which Proton Mail is protonmail.com. Or go to the website if that's too hard for you, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. And if you want to, you know, prepare for an emergency these days.
Yeah,
you know,
everything's an emergency these days. Every day is an emergency.
Hello, Texas. You know,
yeah, exactly.
How many drivers were down in Texas stuck in, you know, icy, little bit of snow roads, right? You know,
yeah,
I heard they got a lot down there, but that, you know, it shut everything down where they actually had a food shortage down there in Texas. You know, if you want to plan for these emergencies, and that's the thing, like, you don't know when emergency is going to strike and you never expect it. That's why it's called an emergency. You want to be prepared. Go to preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. We offer emergency supplies right there on that website, including food, supplies, all that good stuff. And the food lasts up to 25-year shelf life. So, you know, you're like, I don't know when the emergency is going to happen. Well, neither do us. It's why we make the food that will last up to 25 years.
And you know the beauty of it is?
What's that?
If no emergency happens, you still have food.
Absolutely.
You can just eat it whenever then.
And I hear it's great.
Yep, that's
I have three buckets in the studio right now. I haven't cracked them open yet because I'm a saver.
Amen,
I like
brother.
Saving it for the emergency.
So, there you go.
Anyways, that's preparewithhll.com. Go ahead and check that out. And we do have a voicemail line, and today is going to be a special show where we're going to do only voicemails.
Isn't that cool? That's awesome to hear people who just called in to talk to us.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is the winner got to it this year, and
yes,
we only record on Sundays.
Yes, we do.
And there was so many weeks where we had snow and ice on Sundays, and you couldn't make it down.
Yep.
So we were kind of like rigging shows together, and Jack did some intros.
Actually,
and
the problem is the weatherman, because they say we're going to have snow and ice, and it's going to last till 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yep.
And by noon, the sun is down. We've already taken time to cancel everything out and say, well, you know what? We're just not going to. Thank you, weatherman.
Yeah.
A job where you can be wrong 50% of the time and still get a paycheck at the end of the week.
Probably a pretty good one, too.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, not bad. Mm-hmm. But we have a backlog of voicemails that we want to get to today. So we're going to make this a voicemail show. And if you want to call in the future and leave a voicemail, you can do that at 515-585-MERK, M-E-R-K, or 515-585-6375. That's the voicemail line. You can leave a voicemail up to 15 minutes long. Anything more than that, you should probably just come on the show and yuck it up with us, because it's a yuck fest.
It is a yuck fest.
Yeah, so
it's freaking hilarious.
It's just fun. We have a fun time on the show. If you're like, ah, I'm nervous, I don't know, just listen. We're laid back. We have fun. We just talk to people and laugh a lot.
Yep, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy your time.
And if you don't, well, you know, I'm sorry.
You'll enjoy it.
Dad said you're going to enjoy it.
You're
so
gonna have a good time.
Yeah, you're going to have a good time.
Guy Buttersnap said, come on down.
There you go, Guy Buttersnaps. All right. Let's get to the voicemail line today. We have not listened to any of these voicemails as per tradition. We don't listen to the voicemails ahead of time. So when we play it, it's the first time you're hearing it. And it's also the first time we're hearing it. And we're going to jump around here a little bit. So let's start off right now with this one and let's go.
Hey, Brian and Tony, the Body Snatcher here. Here are some quick truck stories, the things I seen working at U.S. Steel. We had two dump truck drivers get into a fist fight. These two guys did not get along at all. Eventually, it came to a breaking point. Very few trucks had air conditioning in those days, so we would drive around with our windows down in the summer. These two guys were headed in the opposite direction. One driver stopped his dump truck in the middle of the road and waved down his nemesis. When he stopped, driver A shot driver B in the face with a fire extinguisher. Then they got out of their trucks and started fighting. This may not apply to the entire industry, but these two particular drivers fought like girls. It was pretty funny. Someone, of course, no one knows who, a mystery person, filled a trailer tire with diesel fuel. Throughout the course of the day, traveling back and forth, that tire heated up and started on fire. Go big or go home, I guess. Oh, here's a fatality involving a truck. Since I had a design background, I worked on a case-by-case basis for Safety East and Safety West. I would do illustrations for them. They used the safety illustrations in a packet, and it would go out corporate-wide. It described what happened in the particular accident, what went wrong, and, of course, what action was needed to ensure this would never happen again. Over my 26 years, there were scores of accidents. 12 of them ended in someone being killed. This particular accident, very big dump truck versus flagman. The flagman was an elderly gentleman. This happened on a Wednesday at about 10:30 a.m., beautiful summer day. Here's the kick in the nuts. The flagman was supposed to retire that Friday. I was a truck inspector in those days. I drove past this labor gang. They were patching potholes on the road. Next to where they were working was a small parking lot. I pulled in, parked my truck. A friend of mine was in the gang. I remember BSing with him a little bit, and then I proceeded to go into the transportation building. It was a four-story building with a faded pink color scheme, locally referred to as the pink poodle. Just as I reached for the lobby door, I heard a fairly loud pop, loud enough to get my attention. Screaming and yelling immediately followed this pop. You have a flagman directing traffic around a pothole patching crew. Very normal. Here's the fly in the ointment. A big fly. A dump truck. U.S. Steel is 10 miles by 3.5 miles, so most pieces of equipment stay on the property. This thing was huge, and it was not road legal. It had 8-foot-high back tires. It carried a massive amount of weight. This poor old flagman stumbled backward in front of one of those huge tires. That pop I heard was his head exploding, not flattening, exploding like a watermelon. I guess you would say I was an ear witness to that one. Back to the funeral home. I don't want to end today's transmission with a sad story. Here's a story about hemorrhoids. The first time I heard the word hemorrhoid was in church, of all places. I was just a little guy with a very short attention span. I would always have my notebook with me so that I could draw pictures. I would draw caricatures of a pastor and people around him. My brother and I stayed quietly entertained. Mom said we could draw as long as we took some sermon notes. The pastor mentioned the word hemorrhoid and gave a brief description of what one was. My sophomoric ears perked right up. Huh. Apparently, the Egyptians stole the Ark of the Covenant. Good old Testament God was not digging this one bit, so he struck them down with hemorrhoids. You go, God. Now, that's a prank only God could pull off. What if giving God's enemies hemorrhoids was one of the gifts of the Spirit? Now, that's a gift I would fervently seek with my whole heart. Raise your hand if you've ever seen a hemorrhoid live and in person. Anyone? Brian? Tony? That's what I thought. Trust me, you're missing out on a treat. I would compare a hemorrhoid to Bigfoot. Everyone's heard of one, but B-U-T-T, very few people actually see one. Fast forward several years, my brother and I picked up a fresh body. Male, late 70s, give or take a day or two, 5'3" tall, about 110 soaking wet. He had smooth, tiny little hands, maybe a banker or a businessman of some kind. We got him down into the embalming room, popped this little fellow up onto the table. Jimmy started the embalming process. My brother and I were across the room drinking coffee like normal and finishing up on our paperwork. By this stage of the game, we had completely lured Jimmy to the dark side. The dark side of humor, that is. In this biz, you definitely need a good sense of humor. Suddenly, we hear Jimmy say, "Holy shit," and he starts laughing. My brother and I jumped up and practically ran to see what was up. Any excuse to get out of doing paperwork. Jimmy had this little guy flipped over on his stomach. He had a hold of his butt cheeks, spreading them wide open. He was like Indiana Jones staring at a long lost and forgotten treasure. Sweet mother of God, you guys have got to see the size of this hemorrhoid. Oh boy, look at that. It was sizable. Pastor Steve was right. Hemorrhoids were painful. At least they looked painful. So picture this, if you will. Three men staring, pointing, and laughing at a fourth man's beehole. The hemorrhoid was the size of a pinky. It jutted out into the side of the old brown eye. It had to be a world record holder. How do you sit on that thing, much less take a crap? Huh. Only 6 hours ago, it was excruciatingly painful. Now, it was just plain funny. Within the conversation, we reminisced about a guy just a few months ago that while we were prepping the body, a huge turd slid from his buttoxial region between his legs and down the examination table. I swear to this day, that monster winked at me as it exited its former home. Gentlemen, I love your choice of music for the blooper portion of the podcast. It reminds me of Benny Hinn. Yes, Benny Hinn. My dad and I actually met Pastor Hinn. He was a bit on the rude side. His security detail, on the other hand, they were pretty cool. We talked with them for a while. Oh, fun fact. No, wait. Before we go to the fun fact, I have a Donald Trump story that you might be interested in.
Come on.
Years ago,
man.
Mr. Trump had the Miss America pageant in Gary, Indiana. This man from my church, I worked with him in the passion play. This man was a black gentleman. The church I attended was about 75% black. Now, if I were president, I would make it mandatory that all white people must attend an all-black church for at least 1 year. Imagine a black guy in an all-white church. He would probably die of boredom. Anywho, this man was driving home from work on the expressway. There was a limousine on the side of the road suffering from a flat tire. He stopped to see if they needed any assistance. The chauffeur was having trouble with the jack. The jack was garbage. So this man used the jack from his truck and changed the tire. While he was putting the old tire in the trunk, the back door of the limousine opened. And out stepped Donald J. Trump. He thanked this good Samaritan and took down his name and phone number. Now that's a cool story all by itself. Oh, but wait, there's more. 5 weeks later, in the mail, he received the deed to his house. Mr. Trump had paid off his mortgage. If I remember correctly, it was about $55,000. Okay, fun fact. The little old man that Benny Hill slapped around on the Benny Hill show was Benny's real-life father. Strangely enough, that little old man was the spitting image of the little guy with that monster hemorrhoid. Things that make you go, huh. Well, there you go, gentlemen. Two brothers just living the dream. I love your podcast. God bless.
You know, this funny thing is he just said things that make you go, huh? And you literally go, huh? Right before he said that. Oh, man. Have you ever had anybody get in a fight at work that you've seen?
No, not that I've actually. Me neither. Not at our company now. No.
Anywhere?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Me neither. And like we've both worked in very testosterone-driven environments. Yeah. I've never seen a fight happen.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. So
crazy, though.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he dirtied up the show with the hemorrhoid conversation. I mean, when we started timer and stuff, I was like, oh, here we go.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. And he's like, as soon as he starts talking about the funeral home, I'm like, okay, now we're getting dirty. Talking about poop and all that stuff.
Poop and dead people. Poop and hemorrhoids.
You know, we even looked it up when he mentioned it because I was like, hemorrhoids in the Bible? What?
Yeah, that's a crazy one.
And Deuteronomy and several, it was one time in Deuteronomy and seven times in 1 Samuel, it talks about hemorrhoids. I'm like, interesting.
That is crazy.
So he educated us. Yeah, you'll figure. But yeah, you know,
Body Snatcher, thank you for the call.
Body Snatcher, man,
that was awesome.
Yeah,
onward. It's always fun to hear.
Yeah, it's fun to hear from him, and he's always got interesting stories. And you know, I think that was probably one of the first times he had any stories relating to trucks or something. Yeah, I didn't even know he had anything to do with trucks. I just thought he was a funeral home guy his whole life, you know. But yeah, thanks for calling into the show. Next up.
Hey, Tony and Brian, this is Eric. I'm calling from Austin, Texas. I love the show. Just had a quick story. I don't really drive a truck, but I do deliveries around town for a pipe, valve, and fitting company. And if you don't know, Austin is experiencing a lot of growth, and there's a lot of job sites that pop up in the downtown area about the size, a quarter of the size of a block, and you'll be driving past it, and all of a sudden there'll be a big hole. Well, one particular customer had a big bunch of PVC pipe that they need to deliver to one of these job sites, and you know, I drive a 24-foot flatbed single axle, you know, about as big as you can get without needing the CDL. So they say, hey, we need all this pipe delivered to this job site. I go there looking at the customer, and I see a big hole in the ground. And I call the customer, and they say, yep, it goes down the hole. Never been here before, don't know what I'm doing. So I nose this truck down this dirt ramp down into the big hole, and that thing starts fishtailing back and forth, and I'm laying on the air brakes trying to get her to stop, and I get her nose down into the hole, and well, there's a dry patch, but the rest of it's mud. And I got to turn this truck around to get out of the hole after they unload all this PVC pipe by hand. It's one of many, you know, kind of pucker moments I've got. But love the show. Got to you guys from the other show and heard about that show from Old West. So, you guys have a good one. Maybe I'll call back with another one.
Well, if you call back with another one, you might as well just email us your stories and come on the show, right?
That would be awesome. I mean, it'd be great to talk with you, Eric.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot us a text or shoot us an email rather, and we'll bring you on. That'd be cool. We'd love to hear your stories.
Absolutely. I mean, if you got a bunch of those kind of stories, it'd be fun to talk to you, my friend.
Holy crap. So, I can't imagine driving a freaking small truck down into a hole.
Yeah. No. No, that's what I'm thinking. Like, when he's telling the story, I'm thinking to myself, did he misunderstand? Is he really supposed to go down this hole? I mean, drive a truck into a hole. You first. You
know? If that's me, I'm like pulling up to the rim of the hole, and I'm just throwing stuff down.
Yeah,
it's coming off right, you know, here. He says PVC catch. It's PVC. Yeah, it's not heavy.
So I mean, I'm thinking, all right, you come on up, throw it down. It'll roll down. Exactly. I'm not going.
Nope. I'm not getting stuck.
I don't know. I guess not everybody's job is the same as mine, but right. I mean, I do have the freedom. If a job is not safe, I can say no. I'm not doing that. Yeah. And that's that.
And then they'll send somebody else out the next day who will do it.
That's right.
They're like,
okay, Merkel said no, he's got 8 years. So, hey, Charlie, you have 4 years. Let's see if Charlie does it.
Yep. You know it.
And eventually gets down to the guy who, we just hired him last week. He'll do anything.
it's like when freight goes out on a trailer. And on the bill itself, it says, you know, straight truck only. and you know, that driver's going to say, look, I can't get in there. It says straight truck only.
Yeah.
The next time when it goes out tomorrow on another trailer, he's just going to back it in and do what he needs to do.
Yeah. You
know? It's like, because that's what they count on.
Yeah, exactly.
Story of our
lives. I mean,
lives.
If it says straight truck only and stuff, you say, I can't do it. Like, well, Wilbur last week did it.
Yeah.
I'm not Wilbur.
Well, exactly.
He's a super trucker, I guess. Yep. So go
and
ahead
I'm
and have him
idiot,
do it. Yeah. I'm just a goofball, so I'm not doing it.
Because, exactly.
You know, at the end of the day, it's our license, and, you know,
that's it.
I mean,
it's my license and my job.
Because
you think I'm going to damage this truck,
right?
To deliver
one
piece
they
of
say?
Freight?
They'll say,
well, why'd you try?
Why'd you do that?
Yep. If it said straight truck only, why'd you do it?
Or if you thought it was unsafe, why'd you do it?
Yep.
You know, it always comes back on the driver.
Always.
So, yeah, it's better to err on the side of caution, I guess. Mm-hmm. Next up.
Hey, Tony, what's up? My name's Jeff. That's not my real name. I'm from Illinois. I can't disclose where this happened because it's a very well-to-do area, and that company's still in operation. Anyways, a few years back, I worked in lawn maintenance in a super high-end, like, high-dollar estates area. You're talking multi-million dollar homes. Everybody there is basically... doctors and stuff. So I get my route. I'm with the crew. I'm the only white guy on the crew, and I loved it. Awesome dudes. And we got to mow the lawns. You know, we're doing lawn maintenance, everything. So we worked on circuits, you know, one day a week, you do these five places, the next day these five places, whatever. Well, on, I think it was Tuesdays or Wednesdays, that's when we hit all the doctor's houses. And they were all in this one location, this super upscale community, you know, like large acreage, wooded areas. And at this one particular house, there was this golden retriever dog that would always meet us, you know, and my crewmates, they loved this thing. They, you know, they'd pet it every day and just all this crazy stuff. Well, one of the perks about the job is I love it because you're outdoors all the time. One of the downsides about this job is there's no facilities. Zero. You kind of had to hold it till you got to a gas station, you know, for someone to buy lotto tickets or whatever. And we're hauling, you know, all kinds of equipment everywhere. We got, you know, 3-ton trucks or whatever they are pulling, you know, all kinds of trailers and whatever. But, so, me, I'm on my bowels are on a pretty good regiment, like 10 a.m., boom, I got to go. I got to drop trial. I don't know if it's when the coffee kicks in or what, but it's consistent. And even when we do the time change, it's 9 a.m., you know, it's like, yeah, it's just how I've always been. So at this one particular locale, every day at 10 a.m., We'd do one place, and then by 10, the guys would have like their 10 a.m. break, and I'd run off into the woods and do my business against the tree. Well, the first time I did this, yeah, it was a little, it bugged me. You know, it was weird, you know. I had to figure out how to do it. I'm like, oh, what am I going to wipe with? I think I used some leaves or something. It was pretty nasty. So the next time, I got an old shirt, and I bring it with me. I drop trowel, tear up pieces of this shirt, and use that, you know, and kind of use the torn up pieces to cover up my dealings. And I found a sweet tree, and it was in this tree line that you couldn't see. The other houses couldn't see. It's kind of between two houses. And so I just took the rest of the shirt, and I kind of hung it up, like almost like a roll of toilet paper. So I'd come there, you know, when the very next week, and it'd be ready to go. Well, the very next week, we're prepping stuff, and I see the dog, and we're getting ready to unload and do the house across the street first, and then the doctor's place. And this dog was kind of a ratty dog. One of the kids told me that it was like it kind of just showed up one day and they just let it stay there. But they do bring it inside now and again, and the dog just smells terrible. It's dirty. It's whatever. It's in complete contrast to the well-groomed lives of these, you know, millionaires. But I don't know. They love the thing. It was always there. My guys loved it. Well, I see it rolling around and kicking some stuff, and this thing comes right up to us to greet us. And my dudes, man, they're just letting this thing like lick its face and lick their faces, and they're petting it, and they're all just all over it, you know, and this dog's going bananas. And it comes up to me. I'm like, this dog smells weird, man. This dog smells like crap. So I'm like, hey, dog, we're not friends. You know, don't touch me. Well, we get over to the doctor's house, and I notice that my shit shirt is all over this doctor's yard. Pieces of it everywhere. This dog's rolling in it. This dog had been going over next door where my little outdoor facilities was, eating my feces and bathing itself in my shit shirts, and then dragged it back to their house. I got so freaked out that I was going to get found out, because nobody knew I was doing this, that, man, I freaked out big time, like kind of under my breath. I was all paranoid that it was going to come out and these doctor people were going to find this dog. But yeah, so these guys are letting this dog, shit-eating dog, lick them up and down all over their face with my feces. It's horrible. It was, it's so messed up. You couldn't write it. Anyways, that's my story about that. I got one more. Because I drive a lot for work. I just drive a van, you know. Never did semi trucks or nothing. But anyways, you can't help it. Every now and then you cut somebody off. Someone's going to be upset with you if you're hauling stuff. They can't see around you. They're all, you know, whatever. And out here near Chicago, we got I-90. It runs up and down. It's big. But anyways, I cut somebody off sometime. He's freaking out. He comes whipping around my vehicle, and he's in this real souped-up Toyota Tundra, and he's yelling at me and hollering at me and giving me the finger and just screaming, just losing his mind. I can't hear a thing he's saying because my windows are up. You know, he's kind of, like, getting closer to me and whatever. And out here, who knows what's going to happen, road rage. So to kind of diffuse the situation, I roll my window down, and I go, I'm sorry. And so he gets real mad, you know, because he didn't hear what I said. And he starts freaking out. He was like, what did you say? What the fuck did you say about? And he rolls the window down and he's screaming, what did you say? And he's so worked up. I go, I said, I'm sorry. And he goes, and he sticks up his fist and he goes, and I think it caught him off guard because he was.
Man, we lost him. We lost him
right at the good spot. It's like, what the heck? Did it diffuse the situation?
Yeah.
Did it
cliffhanger? He's like, I got another story for you, and we're gonna drop. Oh, man, that's the worst.
That is the worst.
Listen, brother.
But he still had time.
Yeah, he must have hit a dead spot, and he must not have realized it. I don't know. Man.
Come on, man.
Oh, well, it is what it is. If you want, go ahead and shoot us an email and let us know the end of that story, and we'll read it on air.
Yeah.
That's the best we can do, I guess.
You know what I have to say of that story?
What?
Prepare with HLL.com.
What? Ammo? We don't sell ammo.
Toilet paper.
Oh, yeah.
If you know that you're not going to be around a bathroom every day at 10 o'clock in the morning and you don't carry toilet paper with you.
We don't sell toilet paper, though.
I'm just saying, you know what? Just be prepared. Take toilet paper with you.
Yeah.
Keep a barrel of toilet paper in a lunch bag or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like,
man.
I don't know.
Listen. This is turning into a real poop show.
It is. Two in a row.
There we go.
It's like, what the heck is going on?
Oh, we love the poop stories, I guess.
It is funny.
So I'll tell you my story then, since he went down that
Here
road.
Here we go.
You remember when I had, when I was a kid, I had poison ivy all over my butt?
Yeah.
Now I used the wrong leaf to wipe with when
there
I was crapping.
There you go. Yes. Does a bear poop in the woods? No, but Tony does.
But listen, when you're a kid growing up in the country and you're out all day playing during the summertime, you don't want to go home to use the bathroom.
You just do
it in the woods. And I was probably, how old was I? Probably like 6, 7.
Yeah, you were young.
I was young. I didn't know. I was just grabbing leaves and I had poison ivy all over my rear end, and you guys are like, how'd you get poison ivy in your bite? I don't know. I have no idea.
Other word to the wise, if it licks its butt, don't let it lick your face.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
What is it with that?
I don't know.
I have an aversion to that. It's like, look, I don't mind dogs. I don't want them licking me.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing that I look at them like, I don't get it.
I don't mind it that much. I guess I just don't really think about it in the moment, but yeah, I guess that you have a point.
Even when we had dogs, I didn't let them lick me.
Yeah.
It drove me nuts. It's like, not gonna, no.
Yeah.
No. You live here. You don't have to lick me.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm thinking about getting a dog. Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah. Lindsay said no, but I'm trying to work her down.
What kind of dog you want to get?
A coonhound.
Like an English Mastiff?
A coonhound.
They howl, dude.
Yeah, I know. That's why I think we're probably not going to get it until we maybe move. You know,
I think you're not gonna get it either.
No, I'm gonna get it. It's like, she brought up a good point. She said that, you know, she doesn't want a dog howling while we have a baby napping and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
And every time
that.
You go away, and
well,
your neighbors will be complaining.
Neighbors.
Your neighbors will be complaining. Your dog's howling all the time.
Yeah, I'm not worried about my neighbors, but
you will when they start complaining.
Go ahead, complain. It's okay. They'll be all right. And so,
it's like getting a beagle.
I would never do
They're
that.
They're noisy dogs.
But I've been thinking about getting a dog, and maybe when we move or when the kids are a little older and they're not, you know, napping much.
That makes sense.
But I've been thinking about getting, I want to get a coonhound. It's one of the dogs that I've always wanted to have ever since I read that book, Where the Red Fern Grows. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Like, I love that. It's like the only book I ever read in my life, and and it made me cry. The freaking dogs die at the end, you know? And I always wanted to, you know, get a coonhound after that. But I've been thinking about getting back into hiking around the woods and stuff. And when I used to do it is before I had kids, and I would go like miles off trail and just crazy stuff. Like I just didn't have much regard for myself, because honestly, in all honesty, I had this philosophy where it's like, well, it's just me and my wife. If I die, she will marry a better guy. She learned her lesson. She'll finally marry a doctor or a lawyer, somebody who's actually a more responsible human being. And she'll learn her lesson. She'll be happy and I'll be dead. It is what it is. I was like crazy. But now that I got the kids, you know, in Pennsylvania, we do have mountain lions. Yeah. And even though the state says we don't, we do. And I don't want to die. So I want a dog out there with me that's going to take the bites and I can get away.
Is that not the craziest thing you have ever heard?
What?
Every state tells you, well, we don't have mountain lions in Pennsylvania, and yet people see them. You hear this all the time when it comes to the Black Panthers down south in the southern states. And so, we don't have them here anymore. Yep. We don't have them here anymore. Then how are people seeing them?
Yep.
I mean, people aren't nuts. Yep. You know, that's one of those things that just is like, okay, I'm not buying it.
There's a guy at work, Tyler, you know him. He used to work at your terminal. And he says, hi, by the way.
Oh,
He actually told
Tell
me.
Tell him I said, hey.
Will do. He told me that this is like out near State College. I guess it was him or his friend. They came across a police barricade because there was a mountain lion that was hit by a car and they were cleaning it up and they didn't want anybody going near it.
Look,
it's a big hush hush thing, man.
What's the name of Penn State's football team?
The Nittany Lions.
Okay, right?
So I know.
They used to be here.
I know.
I'm sure there's still a couple
around. It's crazy. You know? It's crazy. It's like, but
there's no Lions in Penn State. What's the name of the football team?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Come on.
I've seen people have sent me pictures off their trail cams of like up in northern PA, like around the New York border and stuff, of mountain lions on their trail cams. And these are pretty big mountain lions. I mean, they're not like the Great Northwest mountain lions. Those things are like 2-15. Like those things get huge,
right?
And they're muscular. But this was like the one I was looking at was probably about $125. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was big. I mean, because around here, from what I've gathered, the mountain lions, because I talked to people who actually know mountain lions around here, they say it's about 90 pounds to 100 pound cat.
Still a good size cat.
It's still big. That's a big cat. Yeah,
it certainly is.
But yeah, they're definitely in PA, and I would like to have a dog to die for me while I'm out there now.
So. Yeah, you know, it's funny because like we always had dogs when you guys were growing up.
Yeah.
But after you all moved out and it was just mom and me, I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done with dogs.
Yeah.
I'm not into it anymore. It's not that I don't like animals. I love animals.
Big dogs too. German Shepherds, St. Bernard Golden Retriever mix.
She was awesome.
She was
awesome.
Man,
I love that dog. She was the best dog ever.
Best dog.
Yep.
Hands down.
Yeah. Hands down. I would never. And that's what it's like after that. It's like, I never. You know, I don't.
You can't top her, and you tried. Like when you guys got when she died, you guys got two dogs, and neither one compared to her.
Nope.
And granted, I didn't live at home anymore.
She was huge. She was awesome. Yeah. She looked really funny when she was a puppy because she had a rhino head. Like her eyeballs were on the sides of her head, not on the front.
She grew into it.
She grew into her eyes. Yeah. It's like, this is the weirdest freaking. Your mom was like, "What is with that dog?
Why'd you bring home this one?"
But she was a peach. I loved her.
Good dog.
That's the one that I would say I loved.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was great.
Loved her.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's not turn this into the sad reminiscing of our beloved sweetie dog. Yeah. We called her Sweetie.
And she
we had two dogs at the same time. One was called Sweetie. The other one was called Honey.
Yep.
I mean, that's the kind of people we are. We're rednecks. Yeah. What can I say?
Yeah, we're rednecks. We're rednecks.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
White trash.
Hey, you said
I wouldn't go that
hey,
far.
Man, I'm half Puerto Rican, so speak for yourself, okay?
Half white trash.
There you go. I'm telling Mom you said that.
I don't care.
Next up.
Yeah, I went a little long in the last one. Sorry, guys. Anyway, so this guy's freaking out at me. I said to him, I said, hey, I'm sorry. He's like, what's your problem? You know, and I rolled down my window, or he rolls down his window. And he's like, what? What'd you say to me? What'd you say to me? And I go, I said, I'm sorry. And it took him, he must have gotten like taken back because he was expecting to get into an argument, pull over and fight, or so I don't know what he's expecting. And he looks at me, and he's got his fist up, and he goes, you too! And just drives off. He's so upset. He just says to me, you too. I don't know. Anyway, I love the show. Brothers was a truck driver, and I've been on the road a lot. So keep it going, guys. Oh, and Brian, you're the best part. Tony, you're a blowhard. Ha ha!
I love this guy. That is awesome.
I'm going to delete this and make him sound like a fool. I can't believe he called back. And I see the numbers here. I just didn't look at the next one to see it was the same number.
And he finished the story. Well, I guess we got our text message.
Yeah, forget the email and stuff. Yeah.
That was awesome. That, you know, whatever it takes to defray a to diffuse a situation.
Yeah.
And that's what he did.
Yeah.
And that was cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. And yeah, Tony's a blowhard. That's real awesome. I love that guy. He's a great guy. Yeah. We should have him on the show for a 2-hour special.
He's a smart person.
A screw. You. All right. Well, we talked about him enough. Next up.
Hey there, Tony and Brian. This is Eric from Austin, Texas. I got a quick story for y'all. See, I work for a pipe, valve, and fitting company. And I don't have a CDL, but we do a lot of deliveries hauling pipe all over the city. These particular trucks are a 24-foot flatbed with a single axle, and they can be interesting.
Well, this particular story is regarding a load of PVC and cast iron pipe that had to go to a job site in the downtown area. Now, Austin is experiencing a large amount of growth over the last couple of years, so you get a lot of these, a lot of large buildings being built.
Hold on. I think this is the same. This is the same call. He called back. So he called, the first time he called was on January 31st. Then he called back on February 3rd. And it sounds like the same. It sounds like the same call, doesn't it? Like
it,
I think
does. That's why I wanted.
I wonder if he thought that it didn't go through and he called to do it again.
That maybe let it play out. Maybe it's a different story.
I don't want to bore the people.
If it winds up a truck in a hole.
Yeah. If he gets stuck in a hole, listen, people, if he gets stuck in a hole, we'll stop it right there. But yeah, it sounds like it might be the same. All right, Eric, we're going to give you another shot here. Let's see here.
So that if you happen to drive past an old rundown building or lot, 2 weeks later, it's a giant hole. And they're building a brand new building where that old dilapidated building
was.
It's
the same story, Dad. It's the same story. Eric, man.
That's cool, though. We just didn't get to them, and I'm assuming that's probably what happened.
It's funny, though.
It is funny. I'm glad that people are
loyal listeners
there. Exactly. I'm glad that he's into it enough that he called back. And
man,
I wanted to reiterate the story just in case we missed it.
We didn't miss it, man. We were just running behind the voicemail lines because stupid snow here in PA and stuff. You don't got to worry about that down in Austin. Wait a second. Yes, you do.
It's not the snow.
How's your windmills working out now there for you, bud?
I don't know if it's the snow so much as it is the broken pipes.
Oh, man. You know, I heard some stories coming out of Texas and stuff that I was just like, man, like they really aren't used to dealing with this stuff.
No, they got hit really hard.
I mean, I know they got hit hard.
I feel for them.
For sure.
They're not used to this kind of stuff.
But like you hear some of the stories where they were saying about how their food was going bad. They didn't know what to do with their food.
Prepare with HLL.com.
Well, no, I mean it was Sub Below. Stop. Jeez, you're making this an infomercial. It was freezing.
You were great.
It was freezing outside. They could have taken their food and put it outside to preserve it, but they don't think about that because they're 364 days of the year, it's 100 degrees or more out there. You know, it's hot down there, man.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Freaking
it's
hot down there.
It's hot. It usually doesn't snow.
No.
You know, so.
I feel bad for him.
With the month we had in February.
Yeah.
I'm ready to move to Texas. You know, Southwest Texas. As far Southwest as I can get. Costa Rica. Guatemala. We're number one in Guatemala.
Oh, the bragging rights of you.
I know. It's hilarious, isn't it? Like you said, all three listeners.
I can't imagine there's that many people in Guatemala that are listening to transportation shows.
You know what I'd like to know? I'd like to know who's listening to us. It would be so cool to get, just send us a message at whatever our Proton Mail thing is. What is our Proton Mail? Because it changes all the time.
The host of the show doesn't know the email. It's hllpodcast@protonmail.com.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't it be cool to to see, hey, who's listening where?
Yeah.
You know, and get emails from wherever.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't even if you're not, emailing to send us to get on the show, to just, hey, that'd be cool. You know?
Dad thinks it'd be cool. So email us if you're listening in Guatemala.
Yeah. Gee Buttersnap sent an email.
There you go. All right. Next up, hopefully this isn't a repeat too. Thanks for calling, Eric, again.
Yes.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Brian. This is your English boy from Los Angeles, Mike. And I'm reporting, or should I say recording the voicemail. From snowy Seattle. And the reason I'm doing that is because I started driving flatbed coast to coast, literally coast to coast, and was thrown in with the wolves driving 42,000 pounds of graphite electrodes that look like the biggest Crayolas you've ever seen. Now, to the average person on the street, I am driving Crayolas, big giant Crayolas. Crayolas at kids, big giant kids, Mike. Maybe some Nephilim would use, but they ain't. So I left a voicemail at the end of last year from my cozy little garden in warm California in Los Angeles saying, I can't wait to be a trucker. Oh, I got my CDL a little bit before that. But then the journey started. So January the 1st, I drove out to Oklahoma, joined up with a company there. I won't drop the name of the company. And then I went on to do 8 days of orientation for flatbed. Now, for any listeners out there that aren't drivers, flatbed is the ones that have a trailer that is just basically flat with stuff strapped to the back. Normally heavy machinery, you know, roofing type stuff, or you know, manufacturing type things, stuff that you really couldn't put in a, you know, a box. And so I went out, did that for 8 days, kind of got a very basic overview of flatbedding, which was not even a quarter of enough that I needed to know. But that's trucking, I guess. I'm starting to learn that. So then I went off on a trainer, with a trainer on a truck. Now, that was brutal. Great guy. Learned a lot. Younger guy, actually. Did 10 years experience. Only 31. I'm 45. But he was great. I learned a lot from him. And it was good to get a younger perspective. He was a bit of a hoarder, but he was super clean. So that was great. I have stories from guys from my orientation that joined the company. They were some proper slobs out there. They showed me pictures. It was brutal. I just couldn't live in filth. I'm a bit of a, not a clean freak, but, you know, I don't want to live in filth. So then I completed the training. I was assigned my own Kenworth T680 in Birmingham, Alabama. So I went from Oklahoma, drove up to Birmingham, Alabama, picked up my truck, got cozy. I think if you're going to live on the road, you can never really get cozy until, you know, a good period in when you can visit a Walmart. But that's happened for me. But they said to me, "Oh, hey, Mike, we're gonna take it easy on you. We're not gonna throw you to the wolves or anything like that. You know, we're gonna take it easy on you." I don't know if they got the memo on that. I really don't, because the first load I had was a no GPS deal, so I had to map it out and pick up some. I don't even know what it was, but it was pretty intense. I was tarping and strapping for about 3.5 hours in South Carolina. It was only a overnight deal. I'm sorry, yeah, it's from Alabama to South Carolina. So that was a little bit of a baptism of fire, but it was okay. It was a bit rough not using a trucker's GPS like a Garmin that I've purchased. But then I got my load there safely. That was great. I was very happy about that. First time, you know, Virgin run, you know. So I was like, okay, did it. It's great. So then I waited on my Qualcomm for my next assignment. And it said from Ridgeville, South Carolina, picking up graphite electrodes to take to Seattle, Washington. Now, that is just shy of 2,900 miles. I'm thinking, okay, this is different. Now, luckily enough, with my trainer, I actually did a coast-to-coast run. And it was really nice. We went through Yellowstone. I thought, wow, I'm going to go through Yellowstone again. This is great. On the I-90, I'm going to do all these beautiful sights. I'm going to look out the window, see all the trees. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. Well, it was fun until I started discovering that I have to manage a clock with the electronic logs. And then I started going into Kansas. Now, bear in mind, I was going into Kansas and Missouri on Super Bowl day. So the driving was kind of crazy. I mean, I basically went through Kansas City literally 2 hours before Super Bowl. And then the weather, it literally turned. The weather turned so badly. I started discovering that my windshield was freezing. It was like -8. I didn't know how to deal with that. That was a whole new learning curve. And then the journey just went bonkers from there. So I'm struggling my way through Missouri and Kansas. And then, by the way, some of the truck stops I stayed at. Woo, boy, I tell you what, I did a trip to Walmart, and now I come well equipped with with my cleaning sprays and my paper towels. And boy, I'm a one man cleaning machine. But my goodness, I could tell you a few little ditties about angry drivers, assholes, people that are disrespectful to truck drivers, thinking that we're driving, you know, little rigs. Now, bear in mind, I picked up my truck on my first 7 days of being going to Seattle. And, oh my God, I got into Yellowstone, Montana, minus 26 in some areas, snow, blizzardy type weather. And then I started discovering, you know, that some truck drivers, the super truckers, I think they call them, some guys that think they're the man, and I'm gunning it. I'm running and gunning it. I'm getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning, driving in the dark. Well, one morning I got up, and it was in Billings, Montana. I had to do a 34-hour reset, and for your listeners, that means that I have to sit tight because I've literally worked my clock so hard doing like over 500 miles a day. Now, bear in mind, I'm a rookie. I'm fresh fish out here. I'm totally new to the game. And I'm managing these road conditions. And boy, I'll tell you what, I thought Kansas and Missouri and Iowa were tough. But boy, I had a whole new education coming into Montana. The roads were iced, snowy. You couldn't see it. Now, I'm thinking, I want to just get the job done, do it right. So I'm getting up in the dark. And I'm pounding the road. Pounding the road. Literally pounding the snow into the road. I'm like, right, I'm going to get this job done. I'm so fresh that probably most, even people with less than 4 years experience will probably say, I'm just going to chill out until the sun comes up. And I'm driving. Oh my God. If a truck went by or a car went by, it would kick all the snow up. And I literally, apart from my GPS, I couldn't even see if I was going straight. And by the time I realized this is not good, I looked at my GPS and it said that my next rest stop was about 12 miles. And this is after about 8 miles of this. And I was like, oh my God, this is lethal. This is a weapon. I got 42,000 pound of graphite electrodes on the back. And, I'm like, I just want to get to the safer space. But the first thing before the safer space, was a weight station. Well, certainly the first point before I could relax, because I went to a weigh station. And oh my days, I met the queen misery. I was going to say queen bee with a female dog definition. But the reality is that I wouldn't want to say that because it would be derogatory. Oh, I had to go on these scales. I couldn't even see them with the snow. I couldn't even see the signs. All I could see is a red and a green light. I don't know what I'm going on. I've got no experience with this. I've had a couple of ports of entry that I had to deal with going into Yellowstone. Oh, gosh, she didn't like me. And I put the cab light on. I'm like, is that good? Thumbs up. And she yanked me in, and I had to give her all my paper. It was minus 26, freezing. I didn't even know that the trailer registration for the trailer was in a little tube that I'd take out. She was looking at my logs. She was desperate to give me a violation. I said, listen, I've only been doing this job 5 days. I said, I don't have any experience. Literally, you couldn't throw a fresher fish out there into the wild than me. I was like a salmon leaping out in a river full of bears. By the time I got out of there, I was going to stop because it was so unsafe. But I said, I've got to get out of it before she comes out and gives me a ticket or something. So I pounded it up the road and I went into the mountains. I stopped for 3 hours. My clock wasn't looking too good, but then I pounded down the road. But then I had to go over, I don't know if it's called the Cascades. Anyway, cut a very long story short, a very long voicemail. I saw the amount of wreckage I saw from semis going crazy. I was going over, I was coming down another mountain, I want to say on the border of Montana and Washington, a place called Haugen. There was a good truck stop there that I stayed with my trainer. And I was going easy, hazard lights on the flashes, four-way flashes, because it was so bad, the road conditions. And then super truckers coming down. yanking the horn. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. It's pitch black, windy roads, ice and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, what is wrong with this guy? I mean, Jesus Christ on a bike. Sorry for you religious people. But I'm like, my instinct in a bus driver from the UK, and I think I'm a decent driver, was to be slow, be mellow, be safe, get there in one piece, get my stuff there in one piece, which I did, just to let you know. And this guy was just careening down this mountain road. Anyway, the funny thing is, well, it's not funny at all, actually. It's not funny in the slightest. But I saw four wrecks on the way, and I'm talking bad ones, like trucks flying off the interstate and stuck in a service road underneath. Like, I mean, I don't know if these people survived. I mean, I'm sure they're definitely not going to have a good neck, and at worst, they could be in a wheelchair, and even worse than that, they could be dead. But this is the perils that I'm seeing. I'm thinking, why are they not doing safety first? Why are they not being careful? The Montanans driving, they got it. They knew. They were sitting behind me, and then you had these crazy, nutty truck drivers with a certain, and also, I've got to say, some of the mail carriers, mainly one that begins with an F and ends in an X. Oh, my God. I don't know how. They must be on a bonus or something, because I don't know why they would risk their lives and all that to perform their duties on that level of madness. But anyway, so I was cruising through Washington, these mountains at the bottom of Montana or whatever, but I couldn't even tell you where I was at half the time. And then I saw this trailer, and I kind of recognized the back of it, and it was basically like a tombstone on the left of the interstate, and there's police everywhere, because it held me up for 30 minutes. And I'm thinking to myself, my goodness, could that have been the nutter that was going past me who was so angry that I'm doing 35 to 45 on a snowy mountain when 45 would be a max? And there's me, fresh fish, 7 days in. But anyway, so hopefully he's okay. I think it's a warning to many people to be safe out there. But I think I've had the baptism of fire, or would it be the baptism of ice, as I sit here in a slushy, snowy, very heavy snow parking lot in Seattle in Tacoma, just south of Seattle, before I move on down the road to Portland, and then all the way back on the I-90 back to South Dakota. So I got to tell you, man, what a rush, to quote the Road Warriors, a Legion of Doom from the WWF back in the day. But man, I tell you, it's been crazy. And I haven't even told you about some of the truck stops and the restrooms. But maybe one day, as I get these stories going, I'll be able to share a little bit more. Maybe we'll cut it up on the podcast at some point. But I'm going to need to see a little bit more of this country. I'd say the summer, we got to get chatting, because I've already seen enough. Boy, I've seen some other stuff that I'm not even going to blow the horn about. But my goodness, I'm telling you, this is going to be a mad ride. 7 days into my new career, and I've probably had the gauntlet of all gauntlets, because all the other guys from my orientation who started, they seem to have it easy. Maybe no one got the memo that I'm a new driver. But you know what? I wouldn't want it any other way, because I'm that kind of guy. I want it roughest, toughest, ready to go. And send me to Pennsylvania for those tight roads. All right, boys, I'll speak to you and see you down the road.
Nice.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
It's so cool to hear from somebody who is so fresh.
Yeah.
So new in the industry, and is just, he's excited to be kind of thrown to the wolves. You know, it's like that is the industry. That's how it is.
Yeah.
You know,
it's cool, because like just listening to our show and stuff really helped him make that decision. Yeah. And now that he's doing it,
yep,
you know, he's seeing the craziness, and he's going to see more stuff than I think I've ever seen or ever will see, because he's going across the country. I'm just regional, yep, you know, but man, Man, I liked hearing it, man. It's really cool because he 7 days into it, and he's calling into the show to give us his report, and he didn't disappoint. I mean,
not at all.
Not at all.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely shoot us an email because we definitely want to have you on.
Oh my word, and Mike. Yeah, we want to hear
Mike.
From you.
I mean, if you're going to be in Pennsylvania stuff, we'll schedule it, and you just swing through.
If you can swing through,
if
and
you're
we
in
can
the Philly
you,
area, man,
we can pick you up.
Yeah,
you know that we don't
park
talk
the
about
truck.
The truck.
Yeah, yep, park the truck somewhere good. We'll come pick you up. Yeah. Bring you in studio stuff. It sounds like you'd be a hoot.
Oh man. It would be so cool to get to sit and talk with you,
yeah,
you know, live,
yeah,
to do a break room show with you.
Seems like a really, really cool guy.
Yeah.
And to wrap this up, we got one more voicemail, Dad. Let's get to it.
Hey, good morning, guys. Tony, Brian, store shout out to Jack. My name's Eric. I live in California now. Grew up in Chicago. I used to drive for a steel heat treating company, and it was pretty much a daily driver, but we were hauling 80,000 pounds on the daily. And I'd like to talk with you guys about the other show, too, because I had some experiences out here in California. But anyhow, to get back to my point, Road Gators, service announcement. These guys that travel cross country and they're checking their tire pressure when it's 40 degrees out, need to check their tire pressure when it warms up in the afternoon because they're overfilling their tires a lot of times and they end up having blowouts, especially in California when your temperature could travel legitimately 60 degrees from overnight to afternoon from 40 degrees to 100 degrees in Vegas and spots like that. So if these younger guys don't know about tire pressure, it's extremely important to check your pressure periodically to make sure you're not overfilling your tires. And keep up the great work. I started out with Wes on Sasquatch Chronicles, ended up sliding into the Confessionals, and then now to Hammer Lane Legends, and thoroughly enjoy it. You guys are awesome. Appreciate it. Keep up the great work. Have a good day.
Right on, man. Right on. Thanks for calling in.
Definitely. It's cool to hear. And we'd love to have him on.
Yeah.
You know, just shoot us an email. Shoot us an email, and we'll figure something out or whatever.
We'll bring it on,
or you know, we'll give you a, I don't know, call. I don't know. You guys handle that end of things, so it's in your, you know,
yeah,
your purview.
Well, that's,
but it was neat.
That's the voicemail line. That was a long voicemail show. You were right. It was about an hour long. You had said that.
I
so.
Did.
Yeah, thanks everybody who've been calling into the voicemail line and sharing your experiences and stuff. We do appreciate it. And sorry it took so long for us to get to the voicemails. It was just one of those things where the weather got to us. And drivers out there, you know all about that stuff. So, you know, we're really glad you hung in there with us and kept calling the voicemail line. And once again, that voicemail line is 515-585-MERK. That's Merk. For Merkel or Merk the Jerk, however you want to call it, or Blowhard.
I love that guy.
Oh, man, I bet you do.
Come on, man.
Well, where's the how dare you?
Oh, there you go.
How dare you?
There you go. You feeling good?
That's hilarious.
You feeling good, Dad?
I am feeling good.
Oh, good for you.
Good for you. Good for you. Okay. That voicemail line.
Hilarious.
That voicemail line is 515-585-6375. Leave us your voicemail if you want to share a story that's not that maybe like
Five, ten minutes.
Yeah, just 5-10 minutes, 15 minutes. But anything more than that, guys, just give us that email.
Yeah, please, send us an email.
Or let's email us, and then we'll call you.
And we'll get in contact with you. We'd love to have you on. Either way, if you just want to send us a quick voicemail us, that's fine, cool.
Yeah.
But, we'd love to have you on the show. So definitely. And looking forward to having Mike come on. You know, that'd be an awesome show.
Lots of people. Keep the emails coming and stuff, friends, because without you guys wanting to come on the show, well, we don't have a show.
Exactly.
So if you want to chop it up with us, go ahead and shoot us that email, which again is, Dad, do you want to say the email?
No.
hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Dad, what can people do if they like this show and they want to help us out?
You know, I hope they do like this show.
Yeah.
They can share it.
Share the show.
Just share it with your friends and family. Share it on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all the social media, anywhere it is that you are, if you're on, I don't know, whatever the other ones are, Telegram and tell a friend and
tell everybody, right?
Just tell everybody. I mean, I don't even know what's out there. I mean, I'm like, you know, social media illiterate mister here.
Just share the freaking show.
Just share the show wherever it is.
And you know, in honor of being number one in Guatemala, Dad, today we're going to learn some Spanish, which is we are number one in Guatemala.
Nosotros somos el número uno en Guatemala.
That's awesome.
There you go.
What she said.
And until next week, friends, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
So I'm like, hey, dog, we're not friends. You know, don't touch me.